Welcome back, everybody. Too Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film good? My name is Declan.
And I'm Shaquille Aiden.
Shaquille Aiden.
Nice.
Aiden O'Neal? Aiden O...
Aiden...
Wait, what's his name? Shaquille O'Neal, right? Yeah.
Shaquille O... I'm Aiden.
Right, little side note, I just got a message from Raisa saying, did you just do the intro? It's 8 p.m.
Oh, God. Come on, let's keep it going.
Got that. All right. So today we will be looking at, what's the fucking film called? Kazam, that's it. I always get it confused with Shazam, because, it's basically the same thing. It has the same actors and everything. But yes, so we will be looking at Kazam! Before we do that, and why don't you tell me what is Shrekamming this week?
So this is an article from Rolling Stone, and it says, as I move my mic closer to my mouth,
sensual.
Bad Bunny really wants to make a Shrek sequel in SNL sketch. So
wait, huh? Wait, as in wants to make a sequel as a sketch?
Or all will be revealed. Very confusing.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So host/musical guest teams up with Please Don't Destroy crew to bring Ridiculous Shrek Infinity to life. And now, put an end to that for a second. I don't know much SNL. I don't watch the YouTube clips or whatever. So that literally meant nothing to me. I was like, who the fuck is Bad Bunny? Is Please Don't Destroy a thing? What?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The only reason I know who Bad Bunny is because he was in Bullet Train.
Really?
Yeah, he was the the wolf guy.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? Dude.
Literally, every time I say I haven't seen the film.
Oh my god, you haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon?
You haven't seen Treasure Planet?
Oh my god.
Wait, hang on. Have you not seen Treasure Planet?
No, we've been through this. We've done this already.
Okay, this is traumatic for me, and so that's probably why I didn't remember it, because I didn't want to remember it. Fuck, dude. Right, when you come round next.
Literally every time. We've done this on the podcast. How to Train Your Dragon. Right, next time
I knew the How to Train Dragon one. I remember that. But when you told me, I was still shocked, because I forgot.
I haven't seen lots of films.
Bullet Train, so good.
And we're like, and then after it came out and people had seen it, it got such good reviews, and we were like, damn, we kind of slept on
genuinely
that.
It is probably
it
one
looked
of my favorite
not
films.
Good it looked kind of shit, not gonna lie.
No,
but the trailer
dude,
is
so
like
good.
Not good.
No, it's
but yeah, I have heard like everyone
I wonder
it.
I don't know. I know it's on streaming now. I'll have to see whether it's... I might be able to watch it for free. But, dude, I saw it like 4 times in the cinema or something. I went back and just watched it over and over. It's one of these films where I genuinely think I could never get bored of it. It's just so fun. And Aaron Taylor-Johnson is hot in that movie. So, anyway.
Okay.
No. You'll understand. When you see it, you'll understand.
I'm never gonna see it, just to spite you. Same as Treasure Planet.
No, that is sacred to me. That is actually genuinely like one in my top, like possibly my favorite film. That film is sacred.
Oh god. All right.
Anyway, so what else haven't you seen, Aiden?
Ah, we We haven't got long enough. Bad Bunny dressed up like Shrek and forced his Saturday Night Live co-workers to act out a sequel to the beloved animated franchise in a sketch produced by the show's Please Don't Destroy crew. I don't know what that means, but in what could have doubled as a Halloween episode sketch, Benito, I think that's Bad Bunny, suddenly emerges in the Please Don't Destroy office in a full Shrek costume, asking the trio to participate in a reading of his script, Shrek Infinity, starring the ogre, the donkey, Puss in Boots, and for some reason, Michael Jackson. I don't know why they put the ogre and the donkey. Why not just say Shrek and
just,
donkey?
Just to do one of those, like, you know, those things where they're like, you know, when we're talking about the ogre, as in like, oh, he's, it's just another way so that they're not saying Shrek all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of being like, oh, he is the ogre. You know, we all know who we're talking about. I don't even need to say his name. The ogre himself. You know what I mean?
And the donkey himself.
Yeah.
Just stupid.
The one donkey.
The potential sequel produced by A24 involves Donkey being diagnosed with cancer. That's not very funny. Space travel. I don't know why they put that in the article. And Shrek sacrificing himself by manning an escape pod into the sun. It explodes into saying love. Sorry, they've quoted Bad Bunny, and it says, it explode into say love. before throwing the script into the garbage. Bad Bunny's episode of SNL, where he served a blah, 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 blah. I read that, and I was like, that sounds fucking shit. And I've seen SNL sketches and, like, the sketches from the last 10 years, bar a few, or generally just anything where Pete Davidson's involved. It's just trash. It's just, oh, like, man. Shit.
Isn't that, like, humor. A thing you don't like?
Pete I hate Davidson. Pete Davidson. He's a
you
cunt.
Hate him?
Yeah, I hate him. Such a cunt. But
is there a reason? Nah, can we delve into this quick?
Nah, we haven't got long enough. but I watched the, because obviously it's got the clip, so I was like, well, I should probably watch it so I know what it's talking about. Genuinely, it was great. It was so funny. Oh, it's like,
that's cool.
Just so fucking just cracked. Like, Bad Bunny's funny in it. He's just like, just so nonplus. And then, like, at the end, like it said, they're like, wow, I couldn't work out why Michael Jackson was here and like what the fuck you were talking about. But this is actually genuinely good. And at the end, he's just like, no, I don't want to. And then just bins it and walks out. And I was like, good stuff. That's what Shrek in this week.
All right.
Fuck Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, Bad Bunny, and Shrek aside, Abe, this week we will be looking, we'll be winding the clock back a little bit, talking about SNL and what's happened recently. We will widen it back to whenever this film came out, because I didn't look it up, and you're going to tell us. We watched Kazam. I always go to call it Shaq, and I don't know why, just because he's in it.
Shaq-Sam.
Shaq-Sam, because Shaq.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, yes, we're going to be watching this, which we watched on Amazon Prime again. Many of them on Amazon Prime, as much as we hate Bezos.
It's just the most convenient one. I nearly just watched the one it on...
most things are on.
Yeah, I nearly watched it on YouTube Movies, because... It kind of grosses me out more. Yeah, it's
YouTube
up.
Movies. I never want to watch a movie on YouTube.
Yeah, and I was on YouTube. I searched it up because it was like a quid cheaper, and I was like, I might just pay the extra pound. Because I'm on Amazon.
Yeah,
but anyway.
But yes, Amazon Prime describes this film as A troubled 12-year-old gets the chance of a lifetime when he summons a friendly genie, in brackets, O'Neill, from a boombox and gets to make 3 wishes while his magical friend must learn to adapt to modern society. Basketball star Shaquille O'Neal is perfect as the looming genie with attitude. A great film for the whole family. They always do that.
Whoa!
You should get your entire family to watch this film with you. Don't worry, you can watch this one with your kids.
That's it. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. but before we get into this movie, I don't know if it's... There's definitely, like... There's parts of this movie that are fun for the whole family, but parts that are like, we'll get into it. So, why don't you give us some info before we get to it?
Yes. So it was made in 1996. Damn.
Directed made by, in when? Sorry.
1996.
96. I was thinking 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Directed by Paul Michael Glazer. It stars Shaquille O'Neal, Francis Carper or Capra, Ali Walker, Steve Mushkin, and James Aitchison. Aitchison.
That's a long name.
Yep. All of that. See why I struggle with these names? They're all so long and confusing, yeah. And they repeat themselves.
Ugh, these bloody names that aren't convenient for us to say.
It has a budget of 20 million and it made just over 18 million, which ain't too good.
Ain't too good, buddy.
It's got 3.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 5% on Rotten Tomatoes, and only 24 Metal Critics liked it. Savage.
Off rip? Actually fucking stolen. Like, there's no... I think this movie was robbed.
Yeah,
and we'll get into
know.
It. We'll get into
pretty
it.
Accurate.
Nah, not for me. Not for me, buddy. Not
nah,
for me.
I'm pulling you like
finish your shit. We'll get into
that's it. I'm done. That's all.
You're
the
done.
Facts. Yeah, facts
right.
are over.
Fuck you then.
Right. I mean, so the film starts. Should we say up top?
Hang
this
on.
Film slaps.
Up top.
This
right.
film slaps.
Because obviously we're looking at it on this podcast, and the whole point is it's poorly rated. That's why we're looking at it. Watching
well,
this film,
the whole thing is the bad
the whole,
film good.
Yeah, exactly. And like off the top, started watching this, and I was gonna write a note, kind of about like the way you see the mum and the kids talking to each other at the beginning. And I was going to write initially about, I was kind of like, man, they kind of talk almost like strange. It's not like how you'd imagine or how you would normally see like a parent and a child talk.
Yeah.
You know? And I was about to write this. And then I watched it a little bit more and understood a little bit more about them just within that scene. And immediately I was like, no, hang on. This film is rated poorly. But I hope it's not rated too poorly, because genuinely, it fucking slaps.
Yeah,
and I
man.
Really like
it's
how,
great.
Not all of it, but I really like how most of the dialogue is in this movie. The performances are great.
Yeah.
I think that
Shrek,
like...
Shrek.
Shrek is so good in this movie.
Yeah, man. I don't care what anyone says. Shaq is good in this movie. He's great. He's so fun. He's so likable.
Yeah.
And it probably helps that you know it's Shaq, but he's
sure,
great.
But,
he's
but
so
even
good.
Even then, I don't see him in this as the Shaq that I'd see like nowadays on TV and whatever. I think he's like, he's much bigger now as well. Like, he kind
you
of
call
seems.
Him fat?
No,
fat
but he
shaming
seems
Shaq?
More like.
You're fat shaming Shaq.
You know when you
dude.
See. No, you know when you see like. Dwayne the Rock Johnson, and then you see him when he was like younger and in his like wrestling days. The guy's still ripped, but he just seems like younger and seems less. I don't know, because it's not like fat and it's not like ripped and it's not like wide or
wait. Who are we
whatever.
Talking
it's just,
about?
It's
the
just
Rock
older or just Shaq? In general, just that kind of thing.
Because
like,
the Shaq at this time is, he would have been probably, or maybe
it's like peak Shaq, right?
Yeah, well, he would have at least, he would have been playing basketball, I think, if not have just.
Oh no, 100%. I mean, it's marketed as like, oh, basketball star. Like he was already a.
Yeah, yeah, it was Big Shaq, but
yeah,
but like so, but my point is when he's because in this you see him with his shirt off and stuff, and he is like, he's ripped, but like in a toned way. It's like zero body fat. Whereas now Shaq's just like fucking massive, like just in
he's
every
a
way.
Boy,
he's a fucking unit. Like he's ripped. He's got like he's not toned. He's just got like he's got the muscle underneath, like the comfort where you see him eating a 12 pack of Krispy Kremes, the Halloween Krispy Kremes,
the hot wings,
or the hot wings that are like hot wings. Yeah, they look like ant size compared to him.
He still has that as well in this.
Because
he's Shaq and he's huge. Like he's like. Just a wonder of a being. So his hands are literally the size of people's fucking heads, and it's so funny. Like, I mean, we'll get into all of that. Wind it back to the whole point of like,
what were we talking about?
Like this. Genuinely, it slaps. It really does. There are some bits where, you know, you can tell it's a bit dated. There's some you could tell that like the budget wasn't huge. There's some CG stuff which is a bit whack. There was a little bit of dialogue that I felt, and we'll get into it, that I felt was a bit rushed, and so, like, towards the end, so it just sort of seemed a bit like, what the fuck? To do with Shaq, but generally, so good, because they don't just do like a, hey, whoa, it's Shaquille O'Neal, and he's a genie. Oh, this is crazy. Look at all the crazy things they're gonna do. They're just like, here's this fucking, like, do you know what's funny is that I was going to make the point, I forgot that you haven't watched fucking Treasure Planet, but I was going to make the point that it reminds me of that, where you have this troubled kid who is really like somebody like special, like that. I mean, this I love this kind
sorry.
Of
I, sorry
why
I was just like, this kid's like special, you know? I don't know. It just sounded funny about it. I was are you saying, dude?
No, but I mean, like, it's this thing where, you know, okay, he's shit at school. He doesn't bother attending most of the classes, doesn't pay attention, clearly doesn't care about it. The teachers are all, you know, giving him detention all the time. They're just like, oh, this fucking kid, he's doing whatever. But he's a fucking genius. He's just building, it might not be revolutionary shit, but he's, you know, building his own, he'll pull a lever and it'll turn all these lights on. He's inventive and all this kind of stuff.
Is he?
And
because I don't know. Because you only see that in his room when Shaq's there. And
warehouse that he set up? There's that like abandoned.
Did
warehouse
he set that up?
That was his.
I
shit.
Thought that was just.
Yeah,
like
we always
that.
See. No, we always see him like tinkering with stuff.
Oh,
like he's
shit,
just
right,
when his mum comes to talk to him, he's like. Fixing up, oh no, not his, it's the stepdad. He's like tinkering with a bike wheel, and he's just like fixing something up and whatever. Like he's a practical kid who is clearly very smart and like independent. Like he's just going off and you know, learning and sort of making his own mistakes and stuff. And I love that kind of thing where it's not just some. It's not just this, the whole thing of like, oh, he's the main character kid, so he's just brilliant at everything. Or it's the main character kid that just, for no reason, fumbles his way to, you know, become, oh, you're the one, you're the cool one, you did this, you did the thing, you're amazing, whatever. He's just this, like, this kind of, this kid who is, angry and he doesn't know how to process these like big changes that are happening in his life because of, you know, he didn't know his dad since his dad hadn't seen him since he was like two and he knows
he's
12 back in town
now, which is
and he's 12
fucked.
Now
which raises a question to me, which they're like, Which is
about the divorce.
It all gets explained. Yeah, yeah. What the she's signing the divorce papers, and she and to the kid, she's like, "Look, I have something to tell you. Me and your dad are getting a divorce, and I'm gonna marry this guy I'm dating, like that you don't like or whatever."
Travis.
And I was like, yeah, but it's been 10 years, so like, why is the kid so beat up about it? He hasn't seen his dad for 10 years, and they're getting a divorce now. I was like,
you're like, why is this? You're like, oh fucking hell, kid, come on, you haven't seen him for 10 years, go over it.
No, not like that. Like, but just like, I was like, I don't understand why.
What I'm assuming the divorce.
What they've been doing for 10 years?
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming. Well, because what she said was that. She was like, oh, it turns out there was a couple of things left over that hadn't been sorted or something like that. So I wonder whether he left. I mean, to be fair, I don't know. When it comes to a divorce, I think that if you can't locate that other person, I don't know whether you, because you need to serve them the divorce papers, I think. So I don't think. If you don't know where they are, I don't know if you can actually divorce them.
But she had his address. That's how Max finds him.
Yeah, but that's because he was back in town. The whole point was that he was recently back in town. Like, he'd been... Because she said... Because
seems like a plot hole to me.
No. He literally said it. The kid literally said, and now he's back at... Like, I haven't seen my dad in 10 years, and now he's back in town. And blah, 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 like whatever he was saying at the time. But because the mum was saying about that, because it might be that she wanted to get engaged to him, and then they were like, oh, well, this legal stuff was never actually finalised with the dad before. Because if he disappeared, which it kind of seems like he did, because if he didn't know that he had a kid, he probably just fucked off and had no, like, contact with her.
But he doesn't, because... If a
12-year-old kid comes up to you and says, "My name's Max," like how would he not? At first, I was like, surely he would know if he knew he had a kid, for one, knew how roughly the old the kid is going to be, knew the kid's name, and a kid comes in, he's like looking at you in that way and saying, "I'm Max," and he was just like, "So I don't give a fuck." Like, what do you mean? And it wasn't until he said his last name that he was like, "Oh shit, you're my kid."
Yeah, but
kind of deal.
But they literally say in the film he hasn't seen him since he was 2.
Yeah.
So he knows that he has a kid.
Yeah, he knows that he has a kid, but like he clearly was just this deadbeat who just disappeared. The whole point was that he disappeared.
Right.
That's what they said. It's like,
I don't know.
Because he was asking her, like, why did he leave? And then why haven't they just come back into town?
But why haven't they got divorced? That literally makes no sense.
No, because she said that when they divorced. So when she said to him,
you may have noticed that there was a strange pause there. It's because this argument got so heated that me and Diggs had a punch up and we had to stop the recording.
I wasn't driving, so... don't drive, so I had to walk to Aiden's house and then punch him in the face.
Yeah, it's been, like, a couple days, but...
Because he was like...
We hashed it out physically. and we're fine.
And I just want to finish my point.
No! You motherfucker!
I didn't get to finish... No, the end of what I was going to say was... She didn't, past tense, know where he was living until he came back to this... The kid said, "Now he's back in town." Like he,
so the dad just was like obviously
moving around. Well, he's clearly in this business. He's in the music and whatever dodgy shit they're doing. And he said about being like the wanted by police and the different things. So he's probably just moving around all the time. And he's back in the city. So then that's how she got a hold of an address for him.
Well, so the dad's just like, "Hey, I know I've been gone for 10 years and avoiding, like, everything because I'm on the run, but here's my address now, if you want to get this sorted.
No, not necessarily, but it was probably a case of, like,
why she would know the people dad, he knows. Why does the kid, like, not assume that they're already like what?
No, because she wasn't the saying issue to the kid.
But why? What's the issue with the kid being like, "You're getting a divorce, bro"? It's been like 10 years.
Because he's a 12-year-old kid who
it's
never
been
knew his
10
father.
Years,
bro. You can't say that to a kid. That's not how it works. A kid's not going to be like, it's fucking 10 years. Don't care anyway. Yeah but he's abandoned by his father.
You're two. You don't know him, bro. And you're like, and your mum's like,
no.
Technically,
Aiden, this is such a bad take. You can't. This is such a bad take.
Sorry, you're 2 years old. You've never met your dad, and your mum's like, oh, we're still technically married. It's just never legally been officiated. And then, like, one day she's like, oh, I've got his address now so we can, like, legally get divorced. And you're like, no, I love him.
No, are you kidding?
What the kid, fuck?
She's just like, okay, she bombards her kid by sitting down and saying, hey, look, by the way, we're finalizing these divorce things, which means, as he says, he was like, wait, I thought you didn't know where he lived, which means, oh, suddenly this man, this guy that abandoned him, who he's never met, who he obviously, you know, being a kid, wants his family to be kind of together and wants the things that he never had. He's dumb. Like, I could actually go and meet. That's not dumb. He's like, sorry, he's like, I could meet this guy. I could actually meet him and maybe I could convince him to come back and then we could be a family and everything would be okay. And she's like, oh, I'm also going to marry this guy who you like, don't really like, because again, he's not your dad. He's not like you. It's complicated when it's like step dads and shit. And you're just like, look, I get that you like this guy, but also,
oh yeah, yeah,
he's a stranger to me, all this kind of shit.
I'm on board with that. Like,
but, yeah. So, but you get the whole thing. So like, it's like,
but I just,
all of this is dropped on the kid. So then he's immediately like, this is too much. No. Like, you said you didn't know where he was. Now you do. I could go see him. You want to marry this guy. But imagine that on a kid who is 12, who is clearly very troubled. Like, you can't just be like, hey, kid, come on, get over it. All right, it's been 10 years.
Look, I just feel like
that kid has had zero closure.
Okay, but I just, I just feel mechanisms. Like, yeah, he has. He's got his bike.
I'll tell you what, Aiden, there's been some bad takes on this show.
What,
but that
me?
I think took the cake. Yeah, Jimmy changed everything.
Usually, you think this takes the cake?
I don't know. I was just so surprised that you just like, yeah, go over it.
No, not like that. I just feel like it's a bit. I just mean like narratively. It just doesn't make. I just don't know why they've written it like that. Like what? But like, what's the point of being? I
maybe
still
the
maintain
divorce thing. I just, could understand the divorce thing being a bit. I feel like if they'd, it would make more sense. There's room there for them to explain how that situation came about, but I don't think it's so impossible of a situation to happen that it really. For me, it didn't really. I was like, okay, well. I could kind of fill in the gaps there. It's not super important. The idea is that, like, a divorce is, like, a very... Getting the final bits for the divorce, like, sorted. Because, again, let's say she could never... She never got the chance to hand him the papers or whatever, and however that works. Because I'm pretty sure that's how it works. It's a really shit thing with divorce. Like, if both sides don't agree, you can...
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have to, like, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. Like... You know, you've got this shit side of things, I can't remember my original point. Basically,
my point
just-
was that I just found it a weird reaction with the context of being like, if this was like, I don't know, 4 years ago or like 6 years ago, it was just weird to me that it was like. It's been 10 years and you were 2, but to give... But like, it just didn't feel like a reaction someone would have from that length of time when you're that age. Like...
Yeah, I mean...
And that's what I mean. Like, it just seems weird why... But like, narratively speaking, why write it like that? What's the point?
Well, because like, I mean, just ten years to you is so different from 10 years to this is his 10 years is his whole life.
Exactly. And
he's probably spent his whole life wondering about this man who's left him. Why did he leave him? Who is he? Like, all of this kind of stuff, and then to have it suddenly dumped on you, like, I think it's less the whole point of her being like, oh, we're finalizing this divorce stuff. Like, that was sort of the least inciting kind of
right.
point of that.
It's the address thing.
It's two things. It's the address thing, and it's the fact that she wants to, that she's getting engaged with this other guy. Because
yeah, I mean, the engagement thing, I'm on board with the engagement thing.
That sort
yeah,
of stuff, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But it's the mainly the address. The address thing is what he reacts to in that argument.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It because just seemed like, to me well, like he divorce. Was reacting to them. I think I'm a, I just got
I see
the
what you mean.
Wrong
I see, okay.
I, because okay, I was watching it and I was like,
we didn't need to fight earlier physically. I understand that.
Well, we did because we had we got it all out. It wasn't That's just true. This. It was, you know, our differences opinion on Michael Jackson and me not Chase. Watching and Chevy Chase and
yeah.
Who was your one?
No,
Andy Dick.
No one. There was
Andy
no
Dick. and me not having watched How to Train Your Dragon.
Treasure Planet put me over the line, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what we were fighting about.
Yeah.
It makes more sense, but I was more focusing on, like, to me, when I was watching it, I was like, why is he so upset? It seems like he's really upset that they're getting a divorce.
I see what you mean. Okay.
It seemed to me like the reaction you would have when your parents would be like, we're getting a divorce. You know, after being together for so
long. A change of norm.
Yeah. Is something you've been dealing with for 10 years, but now it's just legally official. I was like, why the fuck is he flipping out? I don't understand.
Yeah. No, I think it was definitely more, because when she said about that, the divorce thing, he immediately was like, divorce? But wait, so that means you know where he, you told me, I think his first line to her in reaction to her talking about that is saying, but you told me you didn't know where he was,
right,
or where he lives, okay, or something like that. And then that's why he then, when he finds the divorce document, he sees the guy's address,
right?
Because I mean, it probably was a case of like they would know people in common, and somebody mentioned to her like he's back in town, so she got in touch with him and was like, look, we need to finalize this. And he was like, all right, look, here's an address you can use for me, which, I mean, the kid goes to the address and it's a fucking nightclub, so it's not like he's giving her, it's not like he has a permanent residence, you know what I mean?
He might do, might live in the rafters.
I mean, yeah, in the basement, so
yeah.
But yeah, so, winding it back to the original point we were talking about 20 minutes ago, the whole thing is, it's got this core to it about this kid who is struggling with kind of meeting his dad and realizing what kind of a person he is, not knowing like what to do with his own self or how to cope with anything or how to cope with the world around him and stuff. And then also just Shaquille O'Neal being this fucking God. Gargantuan genie man who just stalks him. And it's so, he's so great.
He's very fun. There's I literally wrote like it was it's when you first meet Shaq, and like throughout the film you're like, okay, this is the vibe. I'm with it now. But when you first meet him, he's like talking to Max. Exactly. In rhyme. And I was like, ayo, Shaq's spitting bars. And then throughout the film, he literally does spit bars. And I was like, oh, yes, Shaq Diesel. Fucking dude.
It's so good. Thing is, when he first...
Shaq so that- Fu, The Return. What a banging album.
Is that an actual album?
Yeah. It's his second album.
I love that.
He's genuinely good, genuinely a good rapper.
But like, that is the thing with this. So the kid, he gets in trouble a lot. He's got these guys at school who, to stop them from bullying him, he kind of sets them up with normally fake things to get them off his back, but sets them up with stuff where, again, he like, it's that thing where he's not growing up on the streets. Like, he has a home.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's out in the streets. He's very streetwise. So much. He's very streetwise. This is just, it's one of these things where I don't know, I just feel like I really kind of connect with that kind of story. Like, I love that kind of thing where, I don't know how you describe, again, it's the same thing with Treasure Planet. And if you'd fucking seen it, you'd know. But,
yeah, my just, knuckles are this, bleeding. I can't do it anymore.
But it's that idea of like this young person who has so many kind of, maybe more so with Treasure Planet, but like has so many kind of like aspirations, but doesn't fit into that kind of world that they're in. And, you know, the rules are like, well, you know, the kid's got to go to school and all these kind of things, but doesn't fit in with that, wants to make their own way, very streetwise and everything, because he's just always out there. He understands how things work and he wants to go his own way.
Yeah, and yeah.
His mum doesn't understand him. She just, and you have that whole thing where she clearly doesn't know or understand how to react to him and how to deal with him. And some of the ways he's talking to her, I was like, bro, you would not get away with that.
He's a bit of a cunt.
But you understand why.
Yeah, you understand why. And then it doubles down, especially when, like, because you're like, okay, like you said, the film opens, you're like, man, fuck this kid. And then you get the whole, like, difficult family situation. You're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And then you meet the dad, and the dad's a cunt, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, the cunt, it dripped down from family.
But even then, the kid is like, the kid's no malicious. The kid's wholesome. There's no malicious, like, he was a good actor as well. Like,
this kid, I did look him up, Francis Capra. He's, cause usually you're like, kid actor, he was pretty decent. He'll be in about 3 '90s films and then.
Yeah, where are they now?
And then this is some, like, fuck them over. He's still acting. He's been in loads of things. And if you look him up, Francis Capra, look up Francis Capra in Kazam, and then compare it to what he looks like now, and he looks wildly, insanely different.
No he's way. Like,
he's
that's so, he's so different. He's so different.
Yeah,
I don't know why the first picture of him here, he doesn't look like him, but he reminded me of Guy Fieri. I don't know why.
Guy Fieri without any hair.
It's one of the photos where he's got like, it's kind of Guy Fieri hair, like it's like spiky a bit and whatever.
Oh, I haven't seen this one. But now he's done loads wild. Of shit. He was in iZombie.
He got that tooth sorted out as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Veronica Mars, Bones, Blue Bloods. Just like not loads of stuff. Just pops up in Sons of Anarchy. He just pops up in episodes and shit. He's still
like with the way he looks now, he probably gets typecast a lot as that kind of like,
100%.
You know.
That gangster guy.
Gangster kind of vibe, yeah.
Yeah, prison vibes.
But yeah, he was just super good in this. I think he sold everything. He could be witty. He could really, like, you could feel that kind of, like, pent-up kind of anger of him not knowing, like I said, how to express and cope. And he's, I mean, like you said, he clearly has his own way of coping with things where he goes out and he built that whole fucking, set up all that shit in the warehouse, which some of it was, you were like, okay, that's maybe a little bit far-fetched as to how he got that shit together. But he tinkers and he makes stuff and all this kind of thing, and people just don't understand him, and you can kind of see this throughout the film, that his mum doesn't understand him, the stepdad is genuinely trying and seems like a genuinely nice guy, but again, he doesn't, he can't like get to him on his level and talk to him and understand him. But then you have Shaq, who, you know, annoys the fuck out of him and deliberately like pokes and prods him and all this kind of stuff. But they, he is this outside figure who doesn't have this kind of, these expectations of him outside of, you know, he's got like the whole wishes thing and whatever.
Yeah. But
he's also learning about how the world works because he's been stuck in that boombox for God knows how long. And they kind of, they do have some really genuinely wholesome kind of scenes, like when they both start like rapping and whatever, and they're dressed up as in the Sultan fucking shit and whatever. Like all of that is so good. I love stuff like that. It feels like it's really real and it doesn't feel like this cookie cutter kind of, I know we've seen the whole thing a million times of, you know, angry child, whether it's a, you know, it doesn't necessarily just have to be a young boy, but like angry child who's angsty because daddy issues or mummy issues or parent issues or whatever. And the world doesn't understand them and they want to break out or whatever. But I don't know. It's the dialogue and everything and the way people interact. And it is so weird how it's spliced in with some, like with the stuff with the genie. Like some of it works. There's a couple bits which I feel like maybe not so much. But generally I think they put it together really well. And I feel like it just really, they kind of sold that kid and his, that's what you have to, I think in this kind of film you have to sell that kid and what he's going through and stuff. That has to be the point that lands, otherwise it all just feels a bit like it just doesn't pull together, it doesn't work.
Yeah
You know,
but yeah, like it's great. I mean, you get like the dad's a piece of shit and Max is like vouching for him, even though he's clearly a bad guy. But then he gets like vague redemption, the dad, like,
yeah,
he's like
kind it, of
it's which I really like, because yeah, Max is like, the whole throughout the film the genie's like, I'm not a, he's like, because he keeps saying I'm not a djinn, yeah, I'm a genie, so like I can only give you physical things.
Material things.
And so when Max is like, get my parents back together, he's like, no. And then when he's like, okay, well, that's... when he meets his dad and he's kind of a piece of shit, and Max is like, give him a second chance at least. Maybe not back with my mom, but, you know, second chance of life. And again, Shaq's like... nah, can't do it, man.
Yeah, he's like, I literally cannot.
Yeah, yeah, it's physically impossible for me. But then he, I like how it's so the whole thing is there's some weird gangster guy who's like, yeah, he's like
shady,
the boss,
shady shit going on, right?
Shady guy like bootlegging music or some bullshit. It's very vague because it's not that important. It's just shady shit. And the guy's like, you owe me money. And the guy's like, and his dad's like, oh, but tape or something. And guy's like, I guess I don't know. This plot point's not that important, so let's just be vague about it.
It's something about it's this tape, which is a recording of the whole like set and show and everything. Like they obviously have like big stuff that happens at that club, and they've got a recording of, I think, the whole set list, like the whole night. And they're saying that it's worth $1 million, and I'm not sure why. I don't remember. I think there's bits in this film where it would have benefited from some subtitles, because it's just one of those like 90s film things where people say stuff either quite quick or it's not that clear, and you miss little bits and pieces. And I think that they have lots of important information that's not very it's like it just kind of happens quick, and it's one of those things where it's like, I always find this shit with fucking espionage films or whatever. I have no idea who's doing what or what's happening most of the time, because they talk in like ways where it's like, oh, you know what we're talking about. And I'm like, no, I fucking don't. I don't know what you're talking about. Who's this? Where
it's because it's all like, it's always vague stuff. It's always like, these guys are bad, these guys are good. And then when they're talking about the details, it's always like, you said you were gonna...
No, I think it's also a case of, like, if you knew a lot about the scene in the 90s of how that how the industry works and stuff, you'd probably be like, I know exactly what this is. Whereas...
Oh, Napster, they're doing Napster.
Because they were saying about pirating and about something like that, a couple, like, getting involved with some shady shit, whether they're... I don't know whether they're palming off, whether they, maybe the tape was them recording this whole thing and then selling it off illegally to the highest that, like, you know,
I guess so. But I thought the guy was,
you know, it's her something
manager or something. It doesn't matter. Literally doesn't matter. Yeah. But anyway, my point was the shady guy's like, he works out that there's a genie about, and he's like, I fucking own you now, genie. And Shaq's like, that's not how it works, bro. And shit goes down. You think Max might have died because the guy pushes him down an elevator shaft, but Max survives somehow. Did the genie do that? Or
So this is something that I, again, something I really liked is it kind of went against what you'd expect, because I think he actually did kill Max, because what happens
because he falls down the
shaft.
That's right.
And you have this whole thing where basically at this point in the movie, Shaq the genie has, what is his name? It's Kazam. Kazam. It's just Kazam, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's high. Again, I don't know why Kazam. Shaq Zam. Shaq Zam. But you have this whole thing where he is kind of getting lured in by all of the lights and the fame or whatever, because they're like, oh, you've got this huge presence and you can rap and, like, you know, you're this big star. And he's got this big boom box that he shoots fucking sparks out of, and everybody's like, yeah, this is sick. So he's like, oh, we can make you a star. Look at them. They're all, there was a line that I thought was really interesting where Shaq says, where he's kind of getting wrapped up in it, and he's like, listen to that, you know, because they're all chanting for him, and he's like, I own them. And you're like, yeah, because he is a being who has only ever known. I think he used to be, he tells a story about how he used to be a human like thousands of years ago, and then
he also says that he calls Pompeii, like, because his master told him to.
Bro,
which I was like,
actually,
I found that quite funny.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus. But you think about this guy who for thousands of years has been literally a slave to the wishes and kind of whims of other people. And then suddenly he's thrust into this thing where all these people are like almost worshipping him. And he has this, and he goes on this fucking trip of just being like, listen, I own them. God, and then that fucking woman that he's sort of been like seeing a bit, was like, yo, you need to snap the fuck out of it. Kid looked very upset. So the idea is that he's very distracted with this. So when the kid needed him most and he's shouting for him, which literally kind of, because they have like a connection, you know, the kid has the wishes and stuff. And then when he shouts for Kazam, Kazam gets, it kind of pierces right into his head, and he's like trying to shake it off while he's doing his thing and whatever. So by the time he gets there, I think he actually had killed the kid. He pushed him off the elevator shaft and he died, because then he's holding this, he's such a like, epitome of a like sleazy kind of, dodgy boss kind of guy who's got like the salt and pepper hair, like, in a ponytail. And he's got the big black mustache, and he's like,
gold chains, you know, and rings and stuff.
Yeah, and he's got the boombox, and he's like, I am your master now, you have to obey me. I'm like, I have control of you. I've got the wishes and stuff. And when Shaq goes to stop him and like grab him to say, where's the kid? His hand goes through him because assumedly that's, you know, part of the rules. He can't harm the person who is his master. And I think what happens is that, because they all start like laughing like, ha ha ha, we got you now. You can't touch me because I own you. And they like push him around and he starts kind of like, because he was telling Shaq to get back in the box. So I think he's kind of dematerializing to go back in the box.
Right. Okay.
Which is what I think was what I assumed was happening at the time. And then he basically breaks past that boundary of being a genie and because he says about jinns only exist in fairy tales, but I think he essentially breaks his chains as like a genie when he kind of has this moment, you know, he's all curled up and things, and then he scrunches his fist and you kind of see him building up and he just slams his fist down and he's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you done to this boy? And so he then he starts fighting back and whatever, and he can grab the guy and he kind of breaks that hold over him. And I think what he then does is the whole idea was the last wish that the kid had, I mean, like you said, was for his dad to have a second chance. And I think that he kind of then fulfilled that wish in an ethereal way by being like, by bringing him back, from the dead. And because he said earlier that he can't do things like raise the dead. And I think he brought him back and kind of gave him life again, because that is what would eventually at least give him like you said, it just gives him a chance to be better. And then you have that was where some of the dialogue I thought was a little bit.
It's just 90s. It's just 90s.
That is exactly
film.
It. Yeah, that's exactly like, it. It's just 90s.
And I'll be honest, like, my last note is that I was like, there's just something about late 80s to mid 90s films that, like, they're just in that sweet spot and they fucking hit different. Like, Trading Places is one of my favorite films to watch at Christmas.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's a little bit problematic now watching back, and sometimes I'm like, different time.
Yeah.
But I fucking love that shit, dude. I just, it's different. They don't love they just don't make them like that anymore.
You know. And then he saves the kid and becomes a djinn and is like, I'm free. I can do what I want now. I'm not
a date that girl I was with.
Yeah, I'm a smash.
There's a bit where Max kind of like gets on board with the fireman guy because the building's on fire. The mum's like, oh my god, my son's in there. And the people are like, you can't go in there, ma'am. And then they're like, and she's like, is my fiance in there? And
Travis,
they were like,
his name was,
Travis, is Travis in there? And they're like, yeah, he's in there. And Travis, like, sees the kid, picks him up and carries him out. And then they're like, just, obviously they're doing the hugging thing. And then it's like all resolved. Max forgives not forgives him, but he's like, yeah, you're actually a cool dude. I'm happy that you make my mum happy. And they're all like, walking off into the distance, and I was like, isn't he's still a fireman, like his job's not over, like isn't there more people, like he's just walking off, like the it's still smoldering, dude, the fire's barely out, and he's like,
my work here's done.
The fire got worse.
Yeah,
where's like, he gone?
He's our captain. He's in charge of this whole thing. We don't know what
to do. He had the keys to the water pump.
And then they're walking off and Max is like, oh, I sure could do with some hot cocoa right now. And then he looks down and there's like some hot. Yeah, I wish I had some hot cocoa right now. And then there's some hot cocoa on the floor. And I was like, don't drink street cocoa.
You don't know what the fuck. Dude, that could be a coincidence. Yeah. Like, what? Dude, you have he knocks no into idea.
It and they all look down and he picks it up. And I was like, why are his parents, well, his mum and his thing, why are they not like, don't fucking drink that?
Hey, man, it's the 90s. Like,
yeah.
They're like, all right, be home by 10 p.m. whilst you go around that strange man's house. It's all good. You want some street cocaine?
Yeah. Also, Shaq shows up, like, he just appears to, because people can see him. It's not like a situation where he's invisible and whatever. So he just, to mess with the kid and to be, and because the kid's being a dick to him, he just, like, shows up. He's just in his kitchen with his mum. He's just, like, behind her. She turns around and fucking screams. And he's there in, like, a business suit and everything and whatever, in a briefcase. And he's just, like, introduces himself and things. And she's just kind of like, oh, okay. And then obviously he says that he's, like, Max's tutor. And then she was just kind of like, oh, I didn't hear the door and whatever. And just kind of assumed, you know, put two and two together to make five. Whatever. But I just thought it's so funny that, imagine turning around and seeing the fucking tallest guy, the biggest, most, like, not imposing in, like, a, like, he has the, it's, like, the biggest
just massive.
Juxtaposition, like, of, like, someone being so big and tall, but also just seeming so, like, non-threatening.
Literally, yeah.
And he's just, like, the biggest grin on his face, like, hello, how do you do? I'm like, what the fuck are you doing in my house?
Oh, so good. Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, like I said, at the end, he sees the cocoa and then he looks to the side and he sees Shaq walking off with that woman that he'd been, like, dating before. And it's, I love it because she's just like, oh, no, don't, you're getting a fucking job. You're going to be doing this. And with just, again, it's the ending bit where he then turns and looks at the kid, and he mouths like, "What? Getting a job?
Yeah,
I gotta get a job." And you're just—it's so wholesome, and
it's
such a good laugh. Like that end bit. Like Raisa hadn't seen the whole film because she just got back from work, like partway through, and she was laughing at that bit. Like she thought it was so funny. Like it's just he nailed it, and I think it was so good.
I can't believe he hasn't done like more.
More, off
the back of this, like
I mean, he's been a busy man. I'm sure he's done lots of stuff.
But, I mean, he owns Walmart or whatever. Like, he just does loads of shit with more. No, he doesn't own it, but he does loads of stuff with Walmart. Like, it's quite. He's just a very wholesome man. He's got like,
and he's gonna fuck Max's mum.
Yeah,
that's a bit when he was like, he put on the fucking, like, full throttle Riz when he appeared in the kitchen, and immediately his mum went from screaming to being like, oh yeah, of course, do you want to have like dinner with her, like not dinner, fucking breakfast with us or whatever,
and he's like, don't mind if I do, and Max is like, don't you fucking touch my mum.
And his outfits throughout this whole thing, always spot on, every outfit, so great. so good, loved it.
It's fucking bad film, all right.
No, bad film, fucking great.
Bad film, great.
Genuinely, so I would watch it again. You know what I mean? Yeah, 100%. I loved it.
I wouldn't
rent it again from Amazon Prime, but
I probably would. If I, not by myself, I probably wouldn't watch it with other people if we're going to pay for it. But yeah, 100%, I'll be watching that again. It's just so good. Like, wholesome. Watch once a year kind of vibe, you know? You're like, I want to watch Kazam again. But yeah.
I feel like cathartically, I feel like I've gone through that cathartically now, you know what I mean? And I'm just like,
I'm glad we sorted out the
physical fight.
Yeah, and then you explained to me the film, but I was like, I'm less angry about it now.
There's been a couple times where we've had like a intense discussion on the podcast, and then at some point afterwards, Aiden will message me and be like,
"Oh yeah,
I've just been thinking about that." And I think I understand where you're coming from.
There was one time. Yeah, there was. I can't remember what film it was. But there was a very specific
Megan,
time.
I think.
I can't remember. But yeah, we were completely going off on one. And yeah. Then I messaged you, like, I don't know, the next day. And I was like, hey, don't tell anyone this, but you were completely right. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
After this, I'll have a look and remind myself which one it was. Because it was it was like an intense one as well, where we were so complete opposite sides about
I bet you felt the fucking great after I saw
I was just like, I was... Well, it was just a case of, you know, I was like, yeah, I know I am. I know I was right.
<Fuck's sake>.
No, yeah, it's good. I mean, that's, you know, it makes for good cathartic discussion. So,
next week we are doing Howard the Duck.
Yes, that's next week for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But next week we're doing...
Because I think you've already heard Five Nights at Freddy's, right? Whereas we...
Yes.
...haven't recorded that yet.
Yes, let me just check. Yes.
So you are time traveling.
Yeah, you've heard fucking... You heard Hottie and the Naughty. You heard...
Yeah.
This. And FNAF.
Yeah.
And... So, my plan's so fucked. We've recorded shit. I don't know. Yeah. Next week, Howard the Duck. What else do we do? We say thank you for listening.
Before we do that.
We say check us out on social medias. And then I give fake ones.
And I go, ha ha ha. We are not on those medias.
Yeah, and then
technically we're on Twitter, but we don't post anything anymore.
Nah,
and I mean technically we're on not Facebook, YouTube, but that hasn't
are
been.
We?
I think the last one up there was like Rocket Man or something.
That's because that was my job.
It was, but the thing is, it was, and then I volunteered to take it over, but never
and
got around to
like,
actually starting it.
Oh God! What
and because
done?
I didn't start, because it was already a backlog, and I didn't start doing anything. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Sorry about that one.
That was in the 30s, maybe. We're at 90s.
Nah,
nobody.
I think we did 5 on YouTube and then gave up.
No, it was definitely more than that.
Five-star review. Help out the show. Tell friends. Give us listeners, please. We haven't got that many left. I don't know what number this is.
Episodes.
Episodes. We haven't got... we haven't got many listeners.
it's all right.
Five. It's very confusing because we're doing it out of order. I think this one... this one, we've got 5 left.
Left?
This is 94. 6 right. left.
6 left.
Yeah,
that's
6
maths.
Left. Maths. Yeah. Anyway, in AI Wars... if you don't know what it is, go to a different episode. Strum, AI Wars. I went first last week. I've actually noticed I've gone first twice in a row now, so it's definitely you.
I think you should go first. Also, I've just looked up on our YouTube. The last one we uploaded was Jingle All the Way. Which was the 26th episode, the Christmas special from like last year. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, our most popular one was That's My Boy with 2,000 views. But I think when
on
we looked
YouTube?
At the metrics, yeah, on YouTube, yeah. But I think when we looked at the metrics, people thought that it was like the whole film.
Oh right, yeah.
So
yeah,
they'd
yeah.
click on because it's like an hour and a half. So people click on it, realize it's not the film, and they click off. So when you look at the metrics on it, it's like a spike at the beginning and then flat lines.
Then a flat line, yeah.
They're like, "What the fuck are these guys?" Oh, it's a podcast.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
Oh God, sad guys doing a fucking podcast in their bedroom.
But you know what? We give a fuck. This is for us, not for you.
Yeah, this is for us. Fuck you. Anyway, you go first.
Right, so I have a nice blank canvas, right, mostly. It's a about an A3 size bit of paper on a desk. You've got lots of kind of little bits decorating around the outside. It looks like you're in a very kind of nice kind of floral area around this desk. Like somebody's got like lots of plants and stuff. Lots of little yellow petals kind of pattering across the top, a little bit on the bottom. You've got some leaves and things kind of sticking out from the sides. And you've got a lady's hand holding a green colored pencil in her hand, just off to the corner, as if she's either about to draw or maybe she's written the my God, the words that are in the center of this piece of paper that just say "lick her."
Oh yeah,
baby.
Mine is the it's the Toy Story meme, the one where it's like blank everywhere,
right? You know, with Woody and Buzz.
But it's got two texts. So at the top it says "I'm but a nut," and then it says tissues everywhere.
That's surprisingly cohesive.
I know, it must have. It must have taken from, like, because I think ImageFlip works where it's just taking from what people have made on ImageFlip, because you can just make memes on it.
Sure.
So I think it's just generating from what people have typed in. So "I'm bad a nut" is obviously done the rounds now. So
yeah.
You want to give me it?
Look at this guy, like,
please,
can I have it? Yeah, I think mine was pretty good, like, visually. I'll send it over to you so you can see. But right, if it wasn't for the bowder nut, I think it for me the bowder is what kind of does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like. It is like, good.
It's funny to look at rather than to explain. I think. But the "I'm about a nut" is
it's hard to beat.
It's hard to beat. Not hard to beat too. So you can have that, I think.
All right. Well,
I'm only allowing it because I have a lead, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're still ahead by one. But yeah. All right. Fuck off.
That's the new outro.
Yeah.
Everyone has their sign offs, like, "Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you in the next one." Or
yeah, grab that gem.
That's
you
all
guys.
For now. Yeah, grab that gem. Yeah, exactly. The Weekly Planet, grab that gem. You know, yeah. Or whatever. You know, you get people saying. My personal favorite is Crendor from Cox and Crendor, where he just pauses for a moment and goes, "See ya."
I like one which is, I can't remember who it was, but it goes, it's an Overwatch thing, but he goes like, "And as always, this is ATP signing out. Peace."
Peace.
Yeah. But we don't have a fist bump to the bros.
Fuck off. Ours is an aggressive fuck off. And then it's a hard cut after we say, "I was waiting for you."
I was waiting for you to say something. I was just going to say, if anyone's still listening, they clearly haven't got the message.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Maybe I'll cut it earlier than this.
No. This is still part of the outro.
I'll put this outro in every episode.
This is our full outro, yeah.
This is the outro. Yeah.
Fuck off. We love you really, but not really. Yeah. Bye.